Welcome to the Moonifest Destiny podcast, number 12. Moonifest Destiny is a novel I wrote in 1991, subtitled The Rough and Ready Balloon Invasion of the Lunar Peninsula of Texas. My name is Peter Gelman. This novel is available on Kindle for 99 cents with illustrations. In this episode, I will read Chapter 11. If this is the first time you're hearing this podcast, I suggest you go back and listen to Episode 1. Thank you. Chapter 11, Old Bones and Boiler Pressure. Tick, tick, tick. The metal man pushed through the mob and slid down into the bomb-proof. His porcelain countenance, lit from below by the pit's lonely lantern, seemed to grin. He turned a ticking circle and said, "My name is Prince President Franklin Stove, and I am pleased to be your guest here in Fort Exis on the moon." His marble eyes gleamed merrily. "Tick, tick, tick. President Polk asked me to give you his compliments. He wishes he too were here to reap the rich corn of glory with you. I am looking forward to gnawing on that good ripe corn myself. I am an automaton, property of the War Department. My mission is, tick, is to be the moral surgeon of the fort. But I am not stuffy. I cannot be. With a high-pressure boiler in my belly. This metal fellow is a good fellow. I am like you, only you have a soul, and I, tick, eat coal. Well, machines are machines, as I am bound to say. Now what about this, tick, superstructure of bones? Gentlemen, I salute your discovery. Bacon's De Argumentis Scientarium, tick. No, it was Cuvier's researches into fossil bones that called this beast a pterodactyl. Here lies the bones of mankind's rival. With a little jet of escaping steam from his nostrils, he lifted the lantern and put his metal palm over the chimney to draw by suction more kerosene into the wick. Letting go the chimney, the wick flamed up, giving enough light to briefly chase away the web of shadows that obscured the terrible bones. Then we saw how fragile they were. "Look at it," he called. "Half snake, half eagle." How ridiculous. It would have flown like an oversized bumblebee. This absurd critter, by its very ridiculousness, was the champion of unreason. Look at these silly old bones. Why did this ugly old bumblebee perish and man rise to enslave nature? Tick! I will tell you why. Because of reason. What is reason? Tick! Reason is the application of logical syllogisms to the irrational by man. What are syllogisms? Tick! Syllogisms are little three-step piston engines of logic, invented by a pagan named Aristotle. Look at this old carcass. See how it died in brute ignorance and in agony. But my friends and patriots, reason conquers nature because, tick, why? Because, tick. Why? Because nature has a flaw in it, and reason is ironclad. What is the flaw in nature? Man has cannon that can outclap the thunder. Man has magnetic telegraph, in which reason enslaves wild lightning to suit the human mind. Man has windmills, sailcloth, and balloons that force order and production upon the random winds. And man holds the mighty compulsion of steam that squeezes the fire of sin from old tick, black, tick, decayed, tick, bones and leaves of flawed nature, tick, and I mean coal, into an all-powerful syllogism. That syllogism's first premise is furnace fire. That syllogism's second premise is boiler pressure. That syllogism's conclusion is piston power. Piston power is steam's Aristotelian conclusion. That conclusion propels reason into the wilderness, and that is called progress. Progress is war on nature. Nature is inferior to progress. Nature is tick. Nature is flawed. Tick. Nature is tick. Nature is irrational. Progress is rational. Reason is the application of Socratic engines to the irrational wilderness by man. What is man? I am not a man. I do not reason. What is man? Tick. Man is a particular intelligent creature with the ability to reason. Man is a creature of nature. Since nature is irrational, man is therefore an irrational creature with the ability to reason. Is this a flaw? Is this an impossibility? No. This flaw makes man possible. The irrational element is a prerequisite to man's freedom. If man were flawlessly ruled by reason, then, tick, man would be a flawless machine. With, tick, the flaw of machines, the inability to invent new premises for syllogisms, and, tick, therefore, unable to apply reason to the irrational, or, tick, in other words, inability to reason. The Aristotelian engine would simply run out of coal. The metal man's gray, swirling eyes glowed dully within the murky veil of coke smoke. The conclusion we must therefore draw from these fossil bones is, tick, the rational is irrational, or the irrational is rational. Captain Mansfield told the men to move off and make room for the next shift of sappers to do their good work. We shuffled, still staring down at the strange old bones. Old Sock crossed his fingers and kissed the cross. I thought that a fine idea and did it too. As the Prince President clambered up out of the pit, the mob drifted off to their bedrolls, and the sapper's iron tore up the fossil, bone by bone, to deepen and lengthen our bomb-proof shelter. With dragon wings, war flew closer and closer. Thank you for listening. Oh, well, this is a free podcast, and I'm doing the best reading I can. I hope you aren't finding it too painful. There may be some listeners who haven't had a chance to learn about syllogisms. Well, they're a form of logic. You may have heard this famous example, all men are mortal. That's the major premise. Then there's something called a minor premise. Socrates is a man. And from those two statements, you can conclude Socrates is mortal. All men are mortal. Socrates is a man. Socrates is mortal. So what does Prince President Franklin Stowe say? He says his major premise is boiler pressure. No, furnace fire. And the second premise is boiler pressure. And then the conclusion is piston power. So it's, we can maybe say it's a poetic application of the categorical syllogism. So what do you think of the conclusion that the rational is irrational? Now, thinking back 20-some years ago when I wrote this, what was the inspiration for me coming up with this idea? Well, as I mentioned earlier, I was reading a lot of 19th century works of literature and essays and imbuing myself with their the spirit of the age, the steam engine, reason. This is before Einstein, after Darwin. So they weren't quite sure what were the limits of a purely rational understanding of the universe. You may have heard of the old watchmaker creator idea that goes back. Well, after Darwin, could they not take that a step forward? I was thinking about that, and I read William Blake. Have you heard of the poet William Blake? English? He died in 1827. He was also an engraver. And he has a poetic argument called "There is no natural religion," which goes to various arguments. And here's the conclusion. And I definitely was consciously thinking about this when I wrote Moonfest Destiny. I brought an omnibus of poetry along with me, and I remember copying this out. If it were not for the poetic or prophetic character, the philosophic and experimental would soon be at the ratio of all things and stand still, unable to do other than repeat the same dull round over again. So maybe you can see where I took that kind of an idea and thought about the irrational as being a potential solution to the source of freedom in a mechanistic universe. A minor note, near the end of that chapter, the metal man emits some coke smoke. Well, coke is a product of coal. I believe it's cooked and therefore refined. And its chief attribute is that it does not smoke. Therefore, people would use it in their stoves and indoors. So I don't know exactly what's going on there. Why is the coke smoke letting out? Why is the coke letting out smoke in a metal man? Well, maybe we'll find out later in the book. It also helps that it rhymes, I'm sure. In the next chapter, the soldiers are going to finish Fort Texas, and the commander will give a speech. Thank you for listening.